You are listening to the We Can Make a Difference podcast. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the new Young African Flow Fables podcast. In partnership with Ruth Egbedi and the Young African Foundation, we have started this new series to bring light to the stories of underprivileged African girls to discuss menstrual hygiene. Today, I have with me Elena Paolini. Elena, how are you doing today?
I'm fine. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much for joining us. So just to start, can you share with us your journey and what sparked your interest in menstruation and girls' well-being?
Yes, of course. So my menstrual journey began when I was 12 years old. I remember that it was September and I was ready to go back to school because in Italy, I come from Italy, and in Italy, we start the academic year in September. So I remember that I was in the toilet and I saw blood all over my pants. And I was just shocked because I didn't know what that blood meant at that time. So I remember that I called my mom and I asked my mom, "Mom, what is it, this blood?" And she explained me what was menstruation, the fact that finally I was entering what we call womanhood, so my reproductive, my reproductive stage, we can put like that. And she explained me how to use the sanitary pad. And I remember that she told me something like, you have to be conscious about the fact that during that time of the month, you will feel a lot of pain and you will feel like stomach cramps, cravings, mood swings, and so on. And she said something that hurt me a lot because at that time I was used to be a volleyball player and she said that I could not play volleyball again. So for me, it was a shock, it was terrible because volleyball was my entire life. And for me, not being able to play volleyball at that time was horrible, terrible. Then growing up, I remember that at a certain point, I think I was 16, I realized that it was very difficult to talk about menstruation openly, both with my parents and my schoolmates, because there is this idea that menstruation has to be hide, conceal, and it's something that we don't have to talk about. So being for me like menstruation, something mysterious and at the same time painful, because during my menstrual cycle, I always experience painful cramps. I decided when I turned 18 to see my doctor and I asked her to prescribe me a contraceptive pill. For those who don't know, there are different methods of contraception. And the monthly contraceptive pill helps you not only to be sexually active without getting pregnant, but also help you to normalize your menstrual cycle. But the contraceptive pill that she prescribed me was a monthly contraceptive pill. This means that I didn't see my period for 1 year. And at the beginning, I was very, very happy, because I was like, finally I sorted out this thing of menstruation. Finally, I will not see blood, I will not see my period, and so on. But then after 1 year, I realized that hiding my menstrual blood was not good for my health and for my well-being. Because in that time, the feeling was that I was not able to do anything good in this life. And I lost, like, I don't know, but I didn't believe again myself in my abilities. So I decided to stop taking a contraceptive pill. And I began to embrace this journey of self-discovery. And yes, that's it.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for that. And you spoke about how, you know, the first time you were going through your menstruation cycle, you didn't really know what was going on. So how important do you think education is in schools on this topic?
I think that education is so important, but more than education, I think that important is to give guests the chance to have access to appropriate information. And this means education, and this means information not only in schools, but also at household like level. Education, information are very important. And you see from my story that I didn't get any information at that time about menstruation, about menstrual blood. I didn't know what that blood meant. And the first feeling I had was I was shocked. I felt guilty. I felt wounded. I felt that my body was extremely dirty because it was producing blood, and I didn't know what this blood meant at that time.
And you speak right now about, you know, feeling dirty, and I think you spoke earlier about some low self-esteem. You know, what kind of issues to mental health can these menstrual cycles bring to young women?
Mental health, the majority of time, I think that is a matter of not being enough confident. So when you don't get the right information, the appropriate information, you feel like, sometimes it's like that, you feel like less than human. Because before having menstruation, no one tells you that menstruation is something natural, is something that has to happen in order for you to become one day a mother, if you wish to become a mother one day. So I think that it's more connected to the perception that we have about ourselves and about our menstruating body. And the fact of have a very, very low self-esteem when it comes to menstruation, and when you see your menstruation, means also after like different type of practices that girls deploy on themselves. Like I don't know, I can give you some example, like self-policing. So this means that when a girl is menstruating and she doesn't have like the right access to information, she will start to look at herself as an object and she will start to question herself, question the way she dresses, question the way she behaves, and the way she acts toward other people, in this case, mainly male peers.
Yeah, and coming back to the fact that people are scared or maybe not comfortable talking about, you know, menstruation, and the fact that there is a lack of education present when it comes to menstruation. What are some common misconceptions or taboos surrounding menstruation, especially in the context of young African women?
Okay, thank you. So I would say that I did like an extensive research in Nigeria 1 year ago. I did a 9-month field research in Lagos, and I can bring my experience and I can bring some accounts of GERD based in Lagos. So I would say that the first misconception or taboo surrounding menstruation is the fact that menstruation is seen as something that should be relegated to the private sphere. So this means that it's often so difficult to talk about menstruation, and as a consequence, menstruation is viewed as something deeply shameful to talk about. The second, I think, misconception based on girls' accounts is that menstrual blood is dirty. And as a consequence of seeing menstrual blood as dirty, society asks girls to follow strict rules and prohibition. They result in, in a social and political disempowerment for young girls. I can give you some example. For instance, in Nigeria, a girl who menstruates cannot attend religious or community gatherings. cannot enter sacred spaces such as mosques or churches, cannot cook for the family. A girl who menstruates has to dress also in a certain way and, as already said, has to avoid the company of male peers. So I would say the idea that menstrual blood is dirty then affect also the daily life of girls, because these girls have to follow some like strict rules, and of course there are also a lot of limitation, as already said. And the third misconception, I think that in Nigeria, for example, is that it's believed that menstrual blood can be used in rituals of juju or black magic. This means that girls experience menstruation even more with fear and anxiety, because they fear to be cursed, they fear to become barren for life, they fear to go mad, they fear to even die, because they think that when these guys use the menstrual blood to do all these juju rituals, black magic rituals, the blood of the girl that has been used to is basically cursed. So I think that these are the three main misconceptions about menstruation.
Yeah, and going back to the topic about how it's difficult to speak about menstruation, why do you think that this is the case, and what can we do as a society to make sure young women are more comfortable to speak about menstruation with each other or with other people?
I think that we have to work toward two directions. So on one hand, we have the awareness and sensitization part at local level. And on the other end, we have the policy and advocacy at national and international level. When I'm talking about awareness and sensitization, I'm talking about the fact that it's our duty as citizens and member of the civil society to behave as active agent of change. In more concrete words, we must teach both old and young generation that menstruation is not a taboo or something that we should be ashamed to talk about. The idea, in my point of view, is to mainstream and normalize menstrual talks, primarily at community level. And mainstreaming menstrual talks means not only creating safe places of discussion where actually girls can feel free to talk about their experience without fears of being judged, but also it means creating spaces of action. And shaping spaces of action means give girls the tools and the means to replicate what they have learned in their own community. If you think about it, this process of building spaces of active engagement work as a domino effect. And on the other hand, when I talk about advocacy and policy, I'm referring to all the theoretical and legal framework of menstruation. Unfortunately, till today, menstruation is still not recognized as a sexual and reproductive right. And moreover, there are no clear guidelines framed at the international level, of course, on menstruation and menstrual hygiene. The first and only attempt to tackle this issue is dated back to 2019, when UNICEF published a manual, a guideline on menstrual hygiene management. But however, also in this case, menstruation is only discussed in its material dimension. So how to properly manage the cycle, which sanitary item to use, how to guarantee a good menstrual hygiene to all girls. What is still missing, according to my opinion, is all the private and as well cultural dimension of menstruation. We barely talk about the intimate experience of menstruation, the emotion and the feelings that are integral part of the menstrual journey. the limits and restrictions imposed on women because of cultural and religious belief. Therefore, also when it comes to, I'm thinking about developing programs focusing on menstrual hygiene management, we often forget to depict the social cultural dimension of menstruation. I don't know if I have time, but I can give you an example.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. So in the last 6 months, I've been working on a project in Ghana. Indeed, I'm a social worker. And the main objective of this project is to enhance the quality of education in 8 primary and secondary school and 1 vocational and training institute in the western region of Ghana. So within the project, specific actions have been taken to address all the challenges that girls experience in school as menstruators. In February 2023, we delivered more than 700 reusable sanitary pads to the girls of these 9 schools. And in August 2023, we carried out a monitoring evaluation field visit to assess the performance of these reusable sanitary pads. What we have noticed is that while in the 8 primary and secondary schools, the delivery of reusable sanitary pads was exosex, indeed all the girls asked for a second delivery. On the other hand, in the vocational and training institute, girls were not 100% satisfied. Why? Because before the delivery, we didn't take into consideration the cultural, the sociocultural, and the private dimension of menstruation. The Vocational and Training Institute, indeed, is a boarding school. This means that the majority of female students sleep in the school hostels. For the girls attending the boarding school, using the reusable sanitary pad was, for example, a big deal. Why? Because we all know that reusable sanitary pad must be properly washed and dry at the sunlight. However, girls were not comfortable with that since they didn't have any private and safe space where to dry this reusable sanitary pad. They were afraid of spreading menstrual clothes outside because of fears of juju once again or black magic. As already said, many girls believe that menstrual blood or menstrual clothes can be used in rituals of black magic. And if the menstrual blood is used in this ritual, it's said that the girls can become barren or even mad, as already argued. If we only have explored and depicted better the sociocultural dimension of menstruation, we'd have known that delivering reusable sanitary pads to the girls attending the boarding school was not totally a good idea. Or better, it can be a good idea if the delivery of reusable sanitary pads, is followed by complementary action, such as the requalification of sanitary facilities. In this case, I'm talking about the toilets and the showers of the school, the creation of safe and private spaces for girls in the school, where to spread actually these reusable sanitary pads, and at the end, but not less important, only if this kind of project can work, only if we carry out sensitization campaign to convince guests that black magic and juju can work as far as you believe in it. And mostly, and most important, carrying sensitization campaign also to sensitize men and young boys about the fact that there is no need to use these sanitary pads, reusable sanitary pads, to make black magic and ritual. So see how important is the sociocultural dimension also in terms of developing programs and planning action, intervention, in this case in Africa.
Yeah, well, Elena, thank you so much for joining me today. Is there anything else you'd like to add before we close out?
Thank you so much for giving me the chance to share with you guys not only my menstrual journey, but also some thoughts that I have concerning menstruation and concerning how we should carry out programs on menstrual hygiene, menstrual health, mainly in developing countries.
Yeah. Well, once again, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you.
If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to like, subscribe, and leave a review. See you next episode.